Good morning and welcome to the roundtable for this 27th of October. It is a Tuesday for those of you keeping track, and if not, you know,
who cares?
It doesn't really matter. It could be the weekend. You don't care. Good morning. It's very nice to have you with us. A reminder that you can join in on our conversation. We love you to do so, at least most of the time. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. The one I liked yesterday was the simple subject line, "What's with you guys?" I was like, okay, great. I know where this is going. So we do love hearing from you, and we would love for you to write in on the topics that we talk about this morning, roundtable at WAMC.org. Let me bring in the panel this morning. Alan Chartok is here with a special guest.
Yes, Mr. Murray himself has deigned to show up this morning.
He is. I haven't seen Murray in probably a year.
Well, he's told me many times. As you know, he was trained at the Literacy Network of South Berkshire, who taught him how to speak, speak and write. And he writes my columns quite frequently. And Murray told me that you're his favorite person.
Well,
and I think it's true. He gets up on Joe's lap and he licks his face.
Yes, we get very close.
He growls at me, and I think Alan might have trained him to do that.
I'm sure that's not true,
Rosemary. It is not true. Murray loves everybody. He makes love, not war.
All right. Well, hopefully he can hold off on that at least for an hour. Rosemary Mayo is here. She is. We missed you yesterday, but it's great to have you.
I heard you were speculating that I was out of the country.
Where did you?
I sort of was. New York City.
You went to New York City?
Yes. There's a Picasso exhibit, and oh my God, it's amazing.
International country.
Hemingway exhibit at the Morgan Library. Tosca at the Met. And lots of places to eat.
Wow.
That's great.
No wonder Murray Shell
is. Is this the Picasso sculpture?
Yeah. Once in a lifetime MoMA exhibit. Amazing. Yeah. Amazing.
That's very cool. Okay. So they're welcome. Thank you very much for being here. And Mike Spain is with us, the assistant executive editor. Associate
it's
editor.
It's like he never met you before.
Of the Times Union, Mike Spain, who was nice enough to come in every Tuesday, and then many, many other days when we ask him. So he's it's always great to have him here.
Well, thank you.
We welcome your comments again, roundtable at WAMC.org. Okay, let's get to the topics at hand, and that is what's going on in the world. And there's some interesting stuff. So let's begin with the budget deal. We have one, apparently. And the news last night was that they're closing in on a budget deal. After working on this for such a long time, they have reached a tentative budget deal. Republican leaders and President Obama settled what is likely to be their last budgetary fight, a tear in the eye, agreeing to increase spending modestly and raise the borrowing limit. According to some of the analysis, especially in the New York Times, the deal isn't Speaker John Boehner's grand bargain, but it does get the job done.
It speaks to how horrific and awful this Congress had been, that Boehner is looking for his legacy to be an act of paying the bills, of getting a budget passed, which is routine work.
Down the road. Too.
Exactly. Yeah. And just putting off the big problem. And that will be his legacy. Wow. Unbelievable. I'm with Bernie Sanders on this one. You'll be happy to hear, Alan. He was on the Rachel Maddow show when they were discussing last night. And he goes, I want to see these cuts to entitlement programs. They're not entitlements, and I'm not sure they should be cut. We don't know what they are yet.
That's right. The stories mention some kinds of cuts to long-term cuts to Social Security and Medicare. Exactly what they are, we don't know.
Yeah, but you can pretty well dope it out. Social Security, what they're going to do is make you wait longer.
Right, raise the eligibility age.
The announcement was that it was going to be on Social Security disability, which is not the same as.
No, it isn't.
So that's why I say we don't really know what they've done. Or plan to do.
Well, I have no doubt, you know, that the Republicans did this. I see this as more one-sided than you do. You were very charitable and said the Congress, Rosemary, which includes both sides. I think the Democrats know that every time there's a Republican threat to close down the government, they win. So
in public opinion.
Yeah, they win in public.
But I think the American public loses because it delays yet another improvement in the economy. It slows down change. Yep. It stops money for infrastructure and other and education. I mean, the loser are the people.
Well, you know, we have this, and we've talked about this a lot. We have this political sphere. What's good in politics for you and your party, and then we have the Mike Spain goody two shoes. You know, what's good for
the American. He says that about me too.
Good for the American people. You know, approach, and you're certainly right. You know about that. So, but it's a sort of multidimensional chess if you think about it, because I happen to think that when they're sitting in that conference, they don't give a whit about the Republicans. About whether or not, you know, people are going to have more, you know, Social Security at rest. They just want to be perceived as people who can win elections. I think that's primary in their view. That's what I think.
Well, interestingly, this budget deal will put off any, you know, any real crisis until March of 2017 after the next president is in office. So it's like a
Welcome
little time
to
bomb.
Washington, yeah. Madam President, I hope. Yeah. Well, it is interesting that they're trying to make a nice smooth entry for the new speaker. He'll come in and he won't have a big budget fight.
Yeah.
Paul Ryan, this
yeah,
is.
That's why this
he'll
is
come
it.
In and everything. Yeah. He won't take the blame for this. He'll probably still be debating it, but he won't take the blame for
right.
it. Not so worried about the new president coming in.
You're
that
exactly,
person.
You're exactly right.
Will come
right.
in. Clear, and
it clears the way for
held.
Paul Ryan to take over.
Right.
In a matter of weeks, really.
And what does this mean? I mean, to your point earlier about what this says about legacy and so forth, I mean, but I know we asked this question in New York for years and years and years. Does it always have to be a fight? Does it? And we've learned in New York it doesn't always have to be a fight. But when you have this political setup, is it always going to be, well, okay, let's hold the budget hostage?
It sure feels like it's going to be always like that because it's proved to be an effective technique.
Right.
Just like the filibuster
it
started
works.
Out with a good thing and then it got corrupted to a political end and now it's a tool for delay and obstruction. I think the same with the budget. Which,
as long as they have the Hastert rule, and that's what
yes.
Ryan says he's
he
going
says
to
he's
keep.
He says he's going to keep it, right.
Right. So right. It won't even come up for a vote in the Congress unless a majority of the Republicans say so, even though there might be enough coalition support among some Republicans and some Democrats to pass something that'll never even have a chance to happen now.
Right.
It will continue not to have a chance to happen now.
You know, Joe, I was struck by the comparison you made with New York, because in New York, it's a very strange animal now. The Republicans theoretically, and they do, hold the Senate, but by a single vote. And if you don't count, you know, the so-called traitors, the Democrats who have gone over to the other side. Also, Cuomo himself is largely responsible for the Republicans' continuance there. So they're not going to mess with him. Where in the Congress, you really do have a split between not only Democrats and Republicans, but a Democratic president and a Republican Congress. And so it really does get a lot more messy and vituperative.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a break. We will come back. I'll give you time to look up vituperative and we will.
Oh, I'm in trouble.
No. And we'll be back in just a moment after this.
Support comes from United Way of Dutchess Orange Region, striving to build a stronger, healthier community by raising funds, developing resources, and forging partnerships. UWDOR.org. MPAC presenting Mount Rushmore, Elizabeth Orr's multimedia portrait of a park ranger plagued by alarmist political email on October 30th. MPAC.rpi.edu. And NBT Bank, offering trust and fiduciary services, investment management, and retirement planning for individuals and businesses. NBTBank.com.
Thank you.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable and our panel discussion this Tuesday morning. We welcome you. We thank you for being with us. And we continue our conversation. I don't see... Do you see any letters on your, your machine?
Well, there was one that came in, but I think it went away.
All right.
Well, it didn't come in this morning.
Oh, it was a holdover?
It was something... There's a whole spate of people, good people, in our town who write overnight thinking that maybe we could take their issue up.
And we don't usually take suggestions.
No, we don't. Here,
except from me. Usually accommodate me, Mike, sometimes.
Well, that's different.
As a matter of fact, I think the stage was already set for this letter from Jim, who said, did anyone watch the Charlie Rose interview with Bernie Sanders last night?
I didn't know he was on Charlie Rose. He was on Rachel Maddow, which is the one I watched. She's been doing a series of interviews with all the candidates.
And?
They're fascinating. I hate it, the idea of her interviewing Hillary. She, like I am, is a fan. And so it was rather kind of fawning, and there were some easy questions. And yet, she got at stuff that other interviewers have not. And she was really good with Bernie last night. She also admires a lot of his stuff. He's been a long supporter of gay rights issues, as she is. And he's trying to depict Hillary as a liar about them, Johnny come lately, or Jane come lately.
Mm.
And she pointed out to him that he also, in the state of Vermont, pushed for civil unions rather than marriage. And he goes, well, I thought, we'd just have a cooling off period and we'd go halfway and then we'd go the full way. And so she goes, well, isn't that the same thing Hillary Clinton did, with DOMA and then coming out for it and then coming out against it when it was the right time? And he goes, oh, I'm just saying I was always for it. And she isn't. She's lying. She says DOMA was to stop something. So she, even when she's if she says one more time, oh, I'm interviewing all the bid boys. Am I nervous? Ooh, come on. She's been a professional for a long time. But it is interesting.
Yeah.
I may show it in class. I know you teach about interviewing too. It's worth looking at.
And when you do, would you be sure to point out to everybody how they've told Bernie to smile? Because he does a lot of smiling now that he never did before.
That's true. He's still got that arm waving thing that Saturday Night Live made such
a He also sticks his tongue out. Jimmy Kimmel had a sequence of several scenes where he kind of like sticks his tongue out a lot when he's kind of thinking about an answer.
And the things we cover
like
and
Khrushchev.
Political news these days.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We're so focused on the completely...
The quirky things.
Yes, the quirky things, right? The non-relevant, non-important things.
Khrushchev used to pretend he didn't understand the English so that he would have time to have the translator, and then he would think of what the answer should be.
I will bury you.
Which is what the Russians seem to be doing now, by the way.
Oh, boy. Are you right?
Oh, my gosh.
And the Chinese.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We have a... Are we talking about that? The
artificial
islands?
We have a couple of moments. Go ahead.
That's good. Well, the Chinese have built these artificial islands in the South Sea. And now they're saying you can't come into within 3 miles of these fake islands.
You said the South Sea? Is it the South Sea?
South China Sea.
Yes, that's right.
So, did I leave that out?
Yes.
Thank you for correcting me. Everyone needs an editor.
It's important.
And that is a territory that is
Spratly,
sea.
Spratly Islands?
Spratly, yes. Is that what their name is?
Yes.
Anyway, this is land also claimed, not land, but water claimed by Vietnam and by the Philippines. So China built these artificial islands. They've got their
And major international shipping channels also.
Yeah. And so the United States brings a ship into this area and they go, get out, you're in our territory. And the United States is saying, not so much.
Yeah. How would you like to be... on that ship right now as a sailor, it has to be somewhat antsy.
Yeah, it is.
But are they really going to
attack the U.S.
armaments against a U.S. naval ship?
When you watch Putin and what he does and sort of daring us in each of these cases, and you watch the Chinese and what they're doing, you just don't know.
Okay, notice how we have moved from Russia, which I wanted to mention, to China. Russia is really scary. Right now, its ships, its military appears to be active all over areas where we have major international cables.
And that is frightening.
They're either listening in on the cables or they're looking for cables that are strictly for the military and are supposed to be in secret locations, or they're looking to cut it. That's bad.
Right. They can
and they're striking. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And they are striking against our supported rebel troops in Syria, unstopped by us. And let's not forget Ukraine, which they've taken over. This is aggression. This is what NATO was supposed to exactly stop, aggression by well, it used to be the Soviet Union, but now it's Russia. And we are doing nothing. In fact, we're now contemplating sending more people into the Middle East.
Rosemary, do you think it's possible that Putin may have some truth on his side when he says, okay, so, you know, these other people are the people who turn out to be Osama bin Laden and others right now, and we're better—
You mean in Syria, some of the rebel forces in Syria.
Yes, thank you, Mike. Yeah. You are a good editor. And we would and we would be much better off leaving some of the authoritarian people in place and hinting that he's more than willing to get rid of Assad when the moment comes.
Yeah, I think that he has always had the right idea there. Let us not forget that we got rid of a crazy man, dictator, and that's what set this all off.
Absolutely.
He was a strong man. Hussein held that area together, we now know. So, yeah, I think he's right. But I want us to look at the totality of Russia's recent foreign policy. It's so in our face. I left out they're moving into the Arctic, which is melting and is becoming important for minerals
and for navigation.
They're moving in. They are countering us in a number of places. And what's our response? I mean, Obama's in trouble for not having a coherent policy on Syria, deservedly so. What about Russia?
We're going to take a break on that note, and we will be back and talk more about it.
Excuse me. You're listening to The Roundtable. Alan and Rosemary and Mike and Murray will all be back. First, this short break. Go, Murray. We're letting Murray go down. We're having our
love fest.
Our moment. Yes, canoodling, as the New York Post would say. Okay. Hey, let's get to more topics. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Alan and Rosemary and Mike are all here. We welcome your comments. Murray, by the way, in case you're just joining us, is Alan's beautiful dog. I just don't
right, right.
That.
And our
new intern Murray was on my lap.
And in fact, Mattman wrote in and said, "My best smart dog joke. My Weimaraner used to look at me intently. Rocky, what's on top of the house?" Rocky replied, "Roof." That's one smart dog. Yes, sir. Well, Murray actually does speak English.
Yes.
Guy comes up to me on the street. He says, "The dog really speak English?" I said, "Go ahead and talk to him." The guy looks at me and he said, "Nah."
You know that joke. What's above? Roof.
What's sandpaper? Roof.
Right.
Oh, well, my God, we've hit a new low.
No.
No. We've gone much lower.
We've got much lower than
that.
That's
dogs.
All right. All right. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Ben Carson. We mentioned this yesterday. Ben Carson has dislodged Donald Trump from the front of the Republican presidential pack for the first time in months, according to a New York Times CBS News survey. We were talking yesterday about Carson beating Trump in Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
But now this is a national poll that is taken. And this is just over the last few days, obviously. And what do you make of it?
I'm terrified. I think he's really a loose, crazy cannon. The man wants to arm the population. He brings up slavery and Hitler in every other comparison he makes. Why is he appealing to people? It's on the basis of his faith.
Well, still, together, Trump and Carson are getting the majority of the votes.
Yep.
48%.
Or virtually that.
Yeah.
And all that does is reflect that the electorate, at least Republicans, are not ready to embrace any of the traditional, conventional candidates. And that's why these guys stay out in front. But does this mean that the demise of Trump, as people had predicted for a long time, is beginning to happen?
Is underway.
Yeah. But at what cost? I mean, we were hoping it would be Jeb Bush or Rubio or even Christie, somebody with an inkling of how government works.
It can't be Christie anymore because the bridge and because he got kicked out of the quiet car.
I would pick Christie over either one of those guys, even though he's loud.
He made news this weekend for getting kicked out of an Amtrak quiet car.
He wasn't aware he was in there when he got on his phone and started blathering, and then he politely got up and
he apologized.
Yes, and he did.
Apologized.
He was quite
gracious about it. Cody wrote a letter. Cody said, in regards to Dr. Carson, how is it possible for someone to be so gifted as a neurosurgeon but believe the Genesis creation story literally, think evolution is bogus, and that climate change isn't happening? That truly shows the power of the brain to compartmentalize.
Yeah, I agree. It doesn't make any – this is a learned man. He is and now is beloved. Here's a black man from Baltimore who rose up. He has an inspirational story. It's even better than Rubio's. And he's now beloved by little religious white ladies in Iowa. Wow.
He's very respectful.
There were two interesting things in this poll that I thought. One was that from the last couple of polls that had been taken, this particular one said that the people who were surveyed are paying much more attention to the race now that the debates have started and the coverage has started. Mm-hmm. So the support for the individual candidates has become much stronger. 55% of those who support Trump said that their minds were made up. 80% of those who backed Ben Carson said it was far too early for them to say they would definitely support him.
I know. What do you see as the significance of that?
Well, it's important to also recognize that the margin of error here is only they're tied if you look at the way surveys are measured.
Right.
Trump is at 22% and Carson's at 26%. It's not very different.
But the thing about thinking harder, I'm not sure that I caught what you mean by that.
Support Carson at this point have yet to make a final decision. They're not firm.
The people who prior polls, they said that they were not paying as much attention to the race. It wasn't on their radar because it was so far down the line. Now they say they're actively.
So that's why they're changing.
Right.
Could be changing.
And the other thing that because we had been talking about Rubio being third with 8% of the vote. But again, as you mentioned, was a statistical dead heat, basically, with Jeb Bush and who am I forgetting?
Is it Ted Cruz Carly? At that point?
Or? No, Carly Fiorina.
Yeah, right. Carly Fiorina.
I still think, and I've always thought, that they can't afford to have either Carson or Trump as their candidate. So that they will go to a brokered convention and the powers that be will pick a Bush or a Rubio or somebody like that. I really believe that's what's going
to
happen.
I am beginning to think that might be the wrong
model.
When
was the last Republican open convention? Yes. Was it in the 50s?
I can't remember my kid's name.
Was the 64 when Barry Goldwater got it? was that one? I mean, it seems like it's been forever anyway.
It's ancient history. I'm beginning to think that model is wrong. We pundits had all envisioned the fall of the collapse of Trump for much earlier in the process.
True.
He has stayed in long enough that he's hurt Jeb Bush. Jeb Bush cutting back on his campaign structure this
week.
Well,
it's possible that Jeb Bush has hurt Jeb Bush, not Trump.
Well, that's
because
true. He's done himself no favors.
Incredibly effective as a campaigner.
He's very petulant. Yeah, he's whiny.
Well,
and petulant
and whiny. Yeah.
So if you just looking at the numbers, and maybe I'm over speculating this, but if you look at the numbers and you say, okay, 80% of the people who are supporting Ben Carson today don't know if they'll support this guy in
tomorrow.
A week or 2 weeks after the next debate, which is this week, right?
Right.
So then you move on. Where does that support go? So does that go to Trump?
Well,
I mean, he's the other outsider.
In Carson's support, looks like it'll go to Cruz.
The conventional thinking here is that the outsiders are what are popular right now.
Right.
But it may turn out to be not so.
Are we engaging in horse race predictions rather than the substantive issues of the debate? The economy, foreign policy would be substantive issues. But it seems to me that what's happening with what voters want is substantive. Isn't that what we're grappling with?
No.
No, I disagree with you, Alan. I think Rosemary's got it. It's what Joe said, that people are beginning to pay attention now. And now that people are beginning to pay attention, you're going to see a lot of shifting in the polls. I mean, we're within 100 days of the Iowa caucuses. People are starting to realize that, hey, this is no fluke. We got to check this guy out.
These guys are really around.
Yeah, we got to check these guys out. I mean, do you want Ben Carson to control the
foreign policy,
you know, foreign policy, and make the decision about what we're going to do about Putin or what we're going to do in the South China Sea.
Or health care.
He thinks
Obamacare is the worst thing since slavery.
He says it right. He compares
Hitler,
it to slavery.
I forgot which one.
No, that was slavery. And Hitler was, let me see, gun control. Gun control, yes. Because if the Jews had had
weapons
during, the 1930s in Germany, Hitler would not have been able to take over in the Holocaust when it happened. I mean, that's an absurdity.
Craziness.
Yes. I mean, I'm sorry that you disagree with me, Michael, because I have incredible respect for you. But but I do think that this,
we're make a sampler of that. I think.
Yeah.
We just press the button and it'll say it'll say.
I'm sorry,
but I want everybody to know that
at
least I love everybody else here. I don't know about everybody else with me, but
there are times, Alan.
Right. Right. You know, but
we love Murray.
I listen. That's why I bring him. Don't you get it?
Love his dog.
Yeah. Well, the other
love his dog, love him, right, yeah.
Ellen, you were saying.
But I did, I did hear Trump, on the weekend shows, and I was incredibly impressed by his presence. Look, I don't like him, but I was incredibly distant, and I could distance myself enough to say, and when you talk about substance, what's substance? He says, let's stand up to the Ruskies and to the Chinese and stop being feckless like the President of the United States is. Now, you may not say that this is an article that's going to show up in Foreign Policy magazine, but it is a position in which he is saying you got to be stronger than the president is, and it appeals to a lot of people.
He's the populist. He's very effective. His stump speech rouses the audiences. It's unquestionable.
Okay, that little quiet voice Carson has, that annoys me too. That little soft-spoken, I'm just a mild-mannered neurosurgeon with crazy ideas. Listen to me. Oh!
Who's more frightening to you, Carson or Ted Cruz, Rosemary?
Oh, yeah. That's a really close contest. I think
he's not quiet. Ted Cruz
speaks
loudly.
He speaks loudly. Crazy as craziness. Wow.
So
bad candidates.
Okay.
Kasich is going to emerge. That's what I'm predicting here.
Okay. It's now polling at 4%, though. Interesting.
I know. But he's sitting waiting in the wings.
All right.
Tons of money.
So, as is George Pataki, by the way.
That's right. At point four. Or maybe it's 0.04. I'm not even sure.
I find the story interesting on two fronts. So let me ask you about it. And that is Donald Trump scheduled to host Saturday Night Live on November 7th. Now, here's a guy who, at the beginning of his campaign, had a very public fight with NBC Universal Comcast.
Right.
They canceled his they fired him. They canceled his contract. They said that they would not have him back. There was a great uproar over Miss Universe because of his remarks on immigrants. And they distanced themselves as far as they could. Well, now, knowing that he's good for ratings, and he certainly has been on NBC shows since then. He's been on Jimmy Fallon and so forth.
And he's all over the morning talk shows.
Meet the Press and Today Show.
MSNBC.
Right. So, but now Saturday Night Live is going to give him a 90-minute entertainment forum. Give it to him in the sense of... Yep. You host. And Latino advocacy groups, politicians, and some media observers are calling for NBC to disinvite Donald Trump and say they are citing inflammatory remarks that Trump made about Mexican immigrants in the speech announcing his White House run in June. And all of this ignited after his appearance was announced. Days later, the National Hispanic Leadership Agenda, a coalition of 40 civil rights and policy organizations, sent a letter to NBC asking for him to be disinvited. Now several members of Congress are calling for the same thing.
So the corporate – let's imagine up a corporate meeting of the top people at not NBC but their owners, right? And they're sitting around the room and they say, well, we can't – at the time that they disengaged from him, we can't possibly – be seen as endorsing a person who has offended all the Hispanic voters. So they do it. They say, okay, we're disengaging from you. Then they look at each other and they say, are you sure all the windows are closed and the doors are closed? And they say to each other, but later on, you know, we'll do what we have to do to stay competitive in the ratings race,
hey,
which they're doing.
Let's remember that Saturday Night Live is an entertainment show primarily. While it engages in a lot of political commentary, it's an entertainment show. And, I mean, if we start to vet all their entertainers, I mean, why did they have a Miley Cyrus?
You know, Cyrus.
Cyrus, I mean. You can see how well.
She's thin all right then.
Why did they have.
That's stylish.
Why did they have Miley host Saturday Night Live? I mean, I thought she was a terrible host.
Well, but no, but
that's just my personal opinion, and I don't like all their hosts.
No, but Mike, it's a little different than that. Obviously, these politicians are fighting to get onto these programs because they know that while they may be entertainment programs, they're going to help them in terms of getting votes, right?
Yes,
And so I think that's really what the game is right now. And if you were sitting there and you wanted to beat your competition, you might do this.
I don't think this is about politicians going on these shows. Saturday Night Live has had lots of politicians on,
including most recently Hillary
Clinton. This is about his comments. This is a free speech issue. And the other thing, or hate speech, I guess. The other aspect of it is if he goes on Saturday Night Live as the host, I don't know why it didn't count for Hillary, then it's an entertainment show, so it's subject to the FCC rule on equal time.
There's no more equal time.
That's on news shows, and entertainment is different, Alan. So that supposedly all of his Republican
opponents can then ask for equal time.
I don't know that that's
right. The courts threw the other stuff out. Yeah. No, you
they
look
threw it up.
Up
on news. I will look it up.
Okay.
But in any event, they all do cameos. I mean, that's standard now for them to do cameos on the late night shows, especially Saturday Night Live. And Hillary did a couple of weeks ago, and they replayed it last week, which I wondered why they repeated it so quickly. Anyways, but the hosting it, that's a big deal. And it will be very. I'm fascinated by this, and I want to see what the writers do to him. And it's live TV; they could turn the tables on him on camera. Which
by
I think
the way,
would be interesting.
For I mean, to me, it's huge for Saturday Night Live and NBC because they're going to get a lot of viewers. We're all going to watch it, right?
Oh yeah, I mean, or tape it.
Well, yes,
record it.
Oh, have you?
I'm showing Alan that I am indeed correct.
Okay, so Donald
Trump's SNL stint could put the FCC's equal time rule in play. His upcoming stint could trigger the federal equal time rule for 13 rivals. Hillary Clinton's appearance on the show also qualified and prompted NBC to send a memo to its affiliates alerting them to the possibility. Clinton was on the air for 3 minutes and 12 seconds. It would be 90 minutes, supposedly. I guess the host isn't on all the time, but every minute you get
commercial
to
commercial.
Right. Andrew Schwartzman, professor of communications law at Georgetown, says the rule states that opposing candidates are entitled to the same quantity, day, the part of the day, and the price as their opponents in terms of airtime.
Well, I'd love to see that get to the courts, to be honest with you, because these courts are saying that's freedom of speech, as you're always proud. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I wanted to say something else to Mike. I'm still fighting with him about an earlier
entertainment.
We have to take a break.
Just want you to know that The Daily Show was watched. Half the kids in America or more said they got all their news from The Daily Show. So it is, you know, that's a tough distinction.
We'll take a break. We'll come back right after this.
Support comes from Spirit House, Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer offering organically farmed wines from around the world. Wine tastings Saturday afternoons, spirithaus.com. Congregation Ohav Shalom announcing a benefit concert with the Klezmatics at the Egg November 22nd at 2 p.m. Theegg.org for tickets. And Albany Realty Group, a local woman-owned real estate company since 2003, educating and counseling sellers and buyers throughout the real estate transaction. AlbanyRealtyGroup.com.
Thank you.
right. Hold on. We were continuing our conversation, just
so
you know.
You guys tell me I'm wrong. I'm like, I have to stop this. I'm trying.
Do you really hate it?
No, I love it. I love it. I love it. Yeah. I got to stop beating it.
To be tested by the courts, but in the courts. But you said is true, and I was incorrect when I disagreed with you, Rosemary.
Okay. Oh, I love
the conversation we were having was about Donald Trump being on Saturday Night Live and whether the other candidates then have the one of the things that came up during the break, which I thought was interesting, is that it's the affiliates. So and to play this out in a scenario, not that you would have to be that if George Pataki wanted however much time, say 90 minutes, he wouldn't necessarily have to go on Saturday Network. Night Live.
No.
He could go on the Iowa affiliate, NBC affiliate, and demand that time at 11:30 on whatever.
Right. Or he could write to every affiliate in the United States saying, I want the time. See, here's the thing. Remember in the old days, we used to watch it. Well, you guys don't know the old days. But in the old days, NBC used to own NBC in New York, I believe, and several other stations. Now they got a problem because they're the owners. But I think at this stage of the game, most of these major stations have affiliates, and it's the affiliates who have to be adhere to the FCC rules. We, for example, are vulnerable if NPR does something stupid because they don't own stations. It's us. And if they, for example, say the F word on the radio or something like that, then we are responsible for that. And we can be allegedly sued for that.
So To the original question as to does anyone here believe that there is a case to be made that he should not be hosting?
I mean the stuff he says is horrible.
Don't turn it on. That's your option. I mean, it is primarily an entertainment show from which many people do get real news. I agree. It's kind of like The Daily Show in miniature when they do their political news. But I think that, you know, Donald Trump being invited to be on there is a call that they made that will raise the ratings, and it's going to – that's what it is.
Do you all remember years ago when – was it 2004 – so it would be 2003 when everybody was talking about would Al Gore run again? Would Al Gore run again? Would Al Gore run again? Would he try because he was – elected. He had more votes, so maybe he'd try it again.
But he lost 5-4.
And then the question was,
lost one crucial vote.
Is he going to run again?
Supreme Court.
So then he goes on Saturday Night Live, and everybody thinks, oh, he's going to go back. He's going to host Saturday Night Live. He's going to go back on the air, and this is going to be his rehabilitation, and he is going to try to get back into it. And then there's a skit where he takes off his shirt and he gets in a hot tub.
With a fake Joe Lieberman.
With a fake Joe Lieberman. And everybody looked at each other and said, oh, I guess he's not running for president.
I guess not.
And then he announced several days later that he wasn't running for president.
They should put Joe Biden in. Take Trump off, put Joe Biden in.
That would be cool.
Do it. Why are they not just doing a skit with Trump the way they have with others?
Well, that's a really good question because other candidates for president, including Hillary, but every other year, Sarah Palin famously have appeared on Saturday Night Live doing cameos, and they've been quite funny. But for Trump to host the entire show, that's different.
I mean, also, my understanding, having read an awful lot about Saturday Night Live history, more than I probably should read, but obviously it varies, but the host is very involved in – I mean, that show starts production on Wednesday. That's a full-time job with the rehearsal and the practice.
Long days.
Trust me. It'll be great. It'll be great. Trust me.
I'm sure.
You think the time would be better spent out in Iowa at the,
That's my question. Or is it just really good,
great
90 minutes to be on? Because I was asking Mike this earlier, but who's not going to watch this?
Yeah. Right.
I mean, we're all going to watch it, right?
Well, no, I'm not because I'll be asleep. But otherwise,
see it the next morning.
I'll be curious to hear what the report is and how much time he actually does spend in the studio getting ready with the cast and whether he does it at the rate that other hosts do. And I have heard the same thing that you have read, that they spend an enormous amount of time there being involved in the process. And they have a lot of skits that don't make it. It's a whole vetting process that goes on for days.
40 skits. 10 get picked for the dress rehearsal and then 7 actually for the live show.
Right. That's
fascinating.
Yeah.
So,
interesting.
All right, we're just about out of time, but we'll
there
go for
some letters. But
yeah, okay, yeah, go for letters. That will perfectly fill out the time and make everybody
okay,
happy.
Okay,
okay.
So Cody says, "Hi panel. Trump's appearance on SNL shows exactly what Trump is. And an entertainer should be viewed as just that. He wants the attention, and that's exactly what he's getting." I don't know. Let's see. Robert says, if the rule applies to entertainment programming, can Bernie demand equal time from the Benghazi committee? Well, I'm sure that's – I mean, I'm treating it as if it's a serious question, but
no, that's,
probably not.
Okay,
that's
but
not entertainment. Yeah, okay,
that's
good point.
News.
Yeah.
But by the way, I'm sorry, Alan. I just want to mention that Donald Trump has hosted SNL before.
Yes, he has.
He hosted the show
2011,
in 2011,
was it? Or
2004, I thought.
Oh, that way back. Okay.
Yeah.
Part of the deal had just –
yes, so –
okay. And Barbara says, I bet Trump cancels if his polls continue to decline. Why?
I would think you would want it all the more reason to go
like
on.
The opposite. Okay. And Jamie wants to know, will his appearance trigger equal time demands?
Yes. As we've made very clear.
It will trigger the demands. Whether it translates into equal time, we'll see.
So Edward says, ain't going to happen, Rubio Pataki. Ain't going to happen, but let's start the rumor anyway. I'm just waiting for the dust to settle and would love to see Rubio and Pataki ticket work for Obama and Biden. This could be the best opportunity for Republicans to win over Democrats, as many do not want Hillary but would otherwise vote for her by default. And that's Ed from Albany.
Rubio took some big hits this week with his comments about how he hates the Senate and he's a quitter and he's never there.
That was a bad move.
Yeah.
That was a bad. For those who didn't see it, Rubio said the reason he's obviously under a lot
he's
of criticism for
Senate.
Not being there. And he says, well, I hate the Senate and therefore I'm giving up on the Senate. Well, then you should resign from your post.
He's been amazingly ineffective as a senator also.
Yeah, well.
And he hasn't been there for many votes.
Right.
Okay.
One more letter.
George says, Russian power, in quotes. This is the last gasp of the USSR. By 2030, Mexico will have a larger population, greater GDP than Russia. Skilled and educated Russians are fleeing. The economy is a mess, and the life is getting worse for the average Russian. Soon, Russia will not be able to afford to maintain its nuclear armory.
That we will we'll end there. Roundtable at WAMC.org if you would like to still comment on some of the things that you've heard this morning. Alan and Rosemary and Mike and Murray, thank you very much. We will continue with the roundtable after this.